Accession number 28672, Mr. Tony Bradbury, Reel 11. Now, so you were just picking up your... So you had trouble getting back into employment. Now you got this abortive offer of a job, and then you worked for Kemp's Directory.
Yeah.
When did you... How did you start to get into proper employment, if you don't...
I know what you mean, yes. Well, I saw this advert in the, I believe, the Evening News for aircraft electricians to work down in Dorset. And that was for flight refuelling. Now, strangely enough, my wife had connections with Dorset. Her sister had got a job in Dorset before the war, and she was very keen to get out of London and take up residence in Dorset. So she said, we're going down for a holiday to my sister's in the near future. Why don't you write and tell these people, Flight Refueling, that you can come for an interview? So I said, that seems like a good idea. I said, but we've still got to find somewhere to live if I find a job in Dorset. Well, it all fell into place, funnily enough. I came down to Dorset, got a job with Flight Refueling, and in the same week, I got the offer of a cottage in Marnell.
Which is where you live now, is it the same one?
The same place, yes.
And what year was that?
51.
So you hadn't been that long messing about with...
I hadn't been all that long messing around, no.
Just about a year or so?
About a year, yes.
Now, how did your career go with the Flight Refueling Firm? Was that to be your career, your proper career?
Yes, it was my proper work, really.
Tell us a bit, briefly, but just tell us a bit about how it went.
The majority of the staff there were ex-RAF people. And I was an ex-naval person. So with the result, they looked upon me with a great degree of suspicion to begin with. But after that, when I gradually got settled in and got more friendly with them, I found they were all right. You know?
And the firm was actually in
Well, it was
it was
between Blandford and Wimborne at a place called Tarrant Rushton.
The old RAF base.
Yeah, the old RAF place, yes. They'd taken over the whole of the airfield and got four hangars, and they had, it was Sir Alan Cobham's firm, and they had contracts for refurbishing mainly RAF aircraft, mainly Meteors, but a bit later on we got Canberras as well. So all I worked for them for 11 years.
To 62.
Yeah, till 62.
And then what?
And then by that time the manned aircraft were starting to dry up, and the firm was losing contracts, and they made some people redundant, and they said to me, "Well, we can keep you on, but we'll have to take off aircraft and you'll have to work on the maintenance side of..." I don't know if this was before, in between, when they got slacking contracts after I'd been there for about 2 or 3 years, I went to work in the maintenance department and did all right there. It was...
ordinary maintenance of...
Well, repairing wiring, machinery, that sort of thing. And I got on quite well there. And then the contracts pick up again, and I went back into the hangars, and eventually I was at the later stage of 59-60, I was running a team of electricians in number 3 hangar at Flight Refueling, and we worked there for about 3 years until such time as the aircraft seemed to dry up and they made some of the...
you mentioned that. So what happens next then?
Well, they said to me, you can go back in the maintenance department, but you have to take a drop in pay. I thought, well, this is no good. My time is up at Flight Refueling. So I said, no, thank you very much. I'll take voluntary redundancy. So that's what I did.
So who did you work for then?
Westlands.
In the aircraft manufacturer?
Yes. I went to work for Westlands, which was slightly near home, which was beneficial. It was only 17 miles from home instead of over 20.
And what were you doing for Westlands?
Well, building helicopters. On the electrical side, mainly.
And you did that from 62 to...?
Well, 62 till 65, when they started developing the Wessex 3, I believe. They said to me, we're going to start from scratch wiring up this helicopter and do various tests on it to make sure that we're doing it all right. If you'd like to take charge of that, you can work on that helicopter on your own and with an apprentice and gradually build the thing up. And this went on to 68.
And then what?
Things got quiet at Westlands. So I did the same thing again. I said, I'll take voluntary redundancy in the morning. And in the afternoon, I went for an interview at Plessis, much nearer home at Temple Coombe. I thought, I'll take a flyer and see how it goes.
And what Plessis manufacture what?
They were doing submarine radars.
Electronics?
Electronics, yes.
And how long were you with them?
21 and a half years.
So 1968 to...
1968 to 1990 when I finally retired.
So that sketch that. Now, the other thing we go back to is your career with the Royal Naval Volunteer Reserve.
Well, my wife said to me, I think you're still hankering for the Navy. So I said, well, yeah, I suppose I am. So she said, why don't you see if you could do some... go on to the RMVR? She seemed to know quite a bit about the Navy. Her father had been served in the First World War. She knew quite a bit about service arrangements. So she said, I think you'd be happier if you could take on some part-time naval service. So I said, well, that seems a good idea. So I wrote off to first of all, before I left the Navy proper, I joined the Royal Fleet Reserve, mainly for the 1/6 a day retainer that they paid you.
And what did that entail, being in the Royal Naval Reserve?
No, this is the Royal Fleet Reserve.
Right, what did that mean?
That meant you accepted an obligation for call up if necessary, you got paid a retainer of 1/6 a day. About twice a year, you went off to a training establishment and did a refresher course on aircraft. Because I was working on aircraft anyway, it was quite good. It was quite interesting anyway. And I stayed doing that till 54.
So 1950 to 1954?
Yes.
Then what?
I don't know whether my wife was wanting to get rid of me at this time, but she said, I don't think you're very happy at this sort of on-off business of going for the in the Royal Fleet Reserve. She said, why don't you try something else? So the next thing I did was right off to the Royal Naval Volunteer Reserve. I went off to the Admiral Commanding Reserves, a very polite letter saying I'd like to take a more active part in naval life. So he wrote back and said, well, we've got three squadrons at Benson, that's RAF Benson, and one at Yeovilton. 1831, 1832 and 1833 are based at Benson. And 1834, which is quite close to your home, he said, is at Yeovilton. He said, if you like, I'll write to the staff officer at Yeovilton and tell them to expect you.
So this is 1834 squadron?
1834, yes.
And it's squadron?
Squadron, 1834 R&VR squadron. So I went for an interview at Benson, actually, which was the main headquarters. And he said, well, I think you'd do quite well at Yeovilton. So I said, if you'd like to go down there and tell them that you'd like to join as an RMVR aircraft electrician, you start off with the lowest rung one day, you get promoted to the next rung on the next day. He said, you'll get back to your old rank as PO electrician on the third day. I thought, well, that's quick promotion. So I went down to Yeovilton, and I found that the squadron there was manned mainly by local people who had served in the Navy during the war, but were flying aircraft on a weekend basis. So I joined 1834 Squadron.
And what were your duties with them? What were your commitments first? How often would you have to go?
Well, put it like this. When I was in the Navy, it was a question of you will. When I joined the RMVR, it was will you? And that was the main difference. And really, if you didn't turn up for a long time, they'd just sign you off anyway and chuck you out. But if you went on weekends on a reasonable basis, they'd say, okay, carry on. I also go once every two or three weekends, something like this.
So it was a weekend commitment. It wasn't a drill night.
No, it was a weekend commitment, yes. Because obviously flying the aircraft was involved at the weekend, really.
And what were your duties on a weekend?
Well, it's a service aircraft. I had to take, first of all, I had to go and see the electrical warrant officer, who gave me another test to see if I was fit to sign DIs. When he said, okay, you can sign DIs, do all the usual routine, check batteries, check the aircraft instruments, all that sort of thing. He said, then you'll just work in with the core permanent staff, who had a core permanent staff of electricians there. So you work in with them, and when they get to know you, you'll do your usual routines you used to do in the Navy, which is what I did.
Sure. And that's just how it carried on. How long did you do that?
Well, although I didn't know it at the time, the writing was on the wall for the Free Tower Arm RMVR squadrons. As I say, I joined one in 54, but because they were changing over at that time from propeller-driven aircraft to jets, they were experiencing a lot of trouble. Some of the pilots who'd stayed on for some time after the war, they were better than others, but some pilots came on direct from civil life and joined the RMVR. And frankly, I don't think they should have been allowed to fly the jets. But we had quite a few casualties, fatal ones, amongst the both the ones who were driving the Sea Furies, and eventually as the jets were coming in, we got casualties there as well. So I think the Admiralty, somebody decided that it wasn't a going concern to operate the Naval Air Squadrons on a part-time basis. But this went on through 55. In 54, I went on a fortnight's course to a place in Schleswig-Holstein with the 1834 Squadron. But then again, I used to work in on a loose basis with the other squadrons from Benson, 1831 to 1833. And we operated there from a German
So this isn't a course, this is a deployment?
This is a deployment, yes. Yeah. Actual deployment. We operated operated naval aircraft from this place. It was RAF Schleswigland at that time. And it was staffed by the RAF, but we still had quite a lot of Germans working as civilian staff there, who I must say impressed me quite a lot.
And that was 1954?
1954, yes.
So what else did you do with them before they finished?
Well, 1955, the first move came in because the captain of Yeovilton called the whole squadron together, air pilots as well as air staff like myself, and said, 1834 squadron is being disbanded, and you've either got the option of leaving the RMVR or joining the people at Benson. Well, a lot of people just left, but I went on to Benson.
So which squadron did you go to there?
Again, on the general air staff.
Now, which squadron?
Well,
any of them. You were with 1831,
or no, not particularly with any of the squadrons. I just used to muck in with them wherever they needed help, really.
So you went there in 55?
Went there in early 55, yes. And there I got fairly well in with one of the permanent people who was an instructor. He said, would you like to give a hand to do some instructing? So he said, We've got some new entries, people, RMVR people, who want instructing on aircraft electrics. If you'd like to give me a hand on that, I'd be very glad of your help. So I used to alternate between working on the aircraft themselves and instructing people on aircraft electrics. And that was my duties there. On 55, we went out to Malta. Operated from Malta for a couple of weeks.
Anything else?
Well, it went on, and in 56, I could see things were coming to an end because we did our fortnight's training at Ford, RNAS Ford, down in Sussex near, I forget the name, Littlehampton, I believe. And after that, the edict came through from the Admiralty that the RMVR air squadrons were to be disbanded.
So what happened then?
Well, at our last meet, we had one, the commander of the air group up there, Commander McRutherford, I'm very sorry, he said, our time has come to an end. He said, we've got to pack up flying. He said, but you people on maintenance, he said, there's various options. He says, you can either leave the RMVR now and forget all about it. He said, but other people will be writing to you to see whether your services can be utilised in other branches of the various services, you see. So I got a letter from the Royal Marines at White City asking me to join them. One of my mates got a letter from the London Scottish asking him to join them. He did, and eventually became a Sergeant Major in the London Scottish, believe it or not. I didn't fancy being a Marine very much to go out to White City, but I got a letter from... what's the name of the place? RMVR Southampton, asking me if I'd like to join them. So I went down there for an interview. They said, right, it's going to be a complete change of everything you've done so far, but if you want to learn ship's electrics, you can do so. So it's only about 50 odd miles from home, from Marnell to Southampton. So I thought, this is getting better. I'm getting near home all the time. So I went home and talked to the missus, and I said, I've got this offer to go down to HMS Wessex at Southampton. What do you think of that? She said, well, if it's going to make you any happier, she said, you could do that. So I stayed there for 20 years.
That was from what, 55?
57.
57. Sorry, that's when the unit closed, was it?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Sorry, I got that wrong. So you retrained as a ship's electrician, did you?
Yeah, that's right, yes.
So And you did till 1980?
No, till 1977.
Sorry, I'm getting everything wrong today. So I do apologise. Now, what did that entail, the retraining? Was it difficult, or was it, you know, just pretty much just... It was electricity is electricity.
Well, it's basically the same, of course, but, of course, more high-powered. Instead of working on 12 or 20 volt aircraft, I was working on 220 volt DC ships electrics, and with a certain amount of AC thrown in to be on the safe side. And gradually I got assimilated into ships electrics. I stayed doing that for 20 years.
And just working at Southampton on any ships that came in?
Well, we had a permanent tender, HMS Wasash its name was to begin with, because in those days the commanding officer was allowed to name his ship as he liked. And because he lived at Wasash, which is midway between Southampton and Portsmouth, he decided to call his tender HMS Wasash. And we also had attached to us from the London division HMS Isis, and that was what was known as an inshore minesweeper. HMS Wasash was a coastal minesweeper. And the difference was that HMS Isis was supposed to be used only for sweeping harbours and large estuaries and things like that. Never supposed to go out in rough weather. And HMS Wasash, which is part of a new class of minesweeper that was being developed at the time, called the Ton class. It started off, I believe it was HMS, I can't remember which Ton it was, but it was one of the Ton class. But when it came to Southampton, the command officer decided to rename it HMS Wasash.
How do you spell that?
Warsash. Wasash. It's a little village on the Southampton.
So you basically worked on these two ships, the Wasash and the Isis.
I never worked on the Isis because I never worked on the Isis at all.
So you just worked on HMS Wasash.
Yes.
So you must have got to know her like the back of your hand.
Yeah, I did really. Yes.
Did you enjoy it? I mean, it's a long, long period of naval service. I mean, it is a long time, 40 odd years, you know. How did you feel?
34 years, though. Right, 34 years.
My maths is
good. Don't exaggerate.
34 years. How did you enjoy your naval service, taking it as a totality?
Well, put it like this. I was never seasick until my first voyage on HMS Wasash, in which, and then, I thought large aircraft carriers could move around quite a bit, but I've never experienced any of the contortions that HMS Wasash could perform in rough weather. And boy, was I seasick the first time round. And I said to myself, this is the end. I'm going to pack this lot in completely. But then when I got into harbour again and got recovered, I thought, well, it wasn't so bad. I might not be seasick again. And strangely enough, I never was. So
you enjoyed your service then?
Yeah, very much, yes. I think my wife could see that as well. She saw that I needed something different from just marriage. And she was very understanding and allowed me to continue with this saga, if you like, of naval service. And I must say that I enjoyed the coastal minesweeper side of my naval service, which lasted for 20 years, even better than I did when I was in the Navy proper. Because in the Navy proper, I was alternating between aircraft carriers and shore stations. But every time I went down to Wasash for weekends, it was seagoing service. And, of course, weekends as well. Also, at least one fortnight a year, we had to go to sea and operate in various exercises with the RN. And I've calculated the other day that In my 20 years part-time RMVR service, I did 2 years at sea, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
That's quite a commitment.
Yes.
Thank you very much.